Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of 2 Chronicles. So after the first five books of the Bible, you have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Second Samuel, 1 Second Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Find 2 Chronicles chapter 11. We'll be reading chapters 11 through 15, taking some devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And let's begin with prayer right now. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look at 2 Chronicles, that we would be able to learn more about you, your people's relationship with you, and how our relationship with you can be improved. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles 11. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam. But this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, this man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your fellow Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built up towns for defense in Judah, Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marishah, Ziph, Adoram, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron. These were fortified cities in Judah and Benjamin. He strengthened their defenses and put commanders in them with supplies of food, olive oil, and wine. He put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were his. The priests and Levites from all their districts throughout Israel sided with him. The Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property and came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them as priests of the Lord. When he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he had made, those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years, following the ways of David and Solomon during this time. Rehoboam married Mahalath, who was the daughter of David's son Jeremoth, and of Abihail, the daughter of Jesse's son Eliab. She bore him sons, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. Then he married Maacah, daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abijah, Attai, Zizah, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah, daughter of Absalom, more than any of his other wives and concubines. In all, he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, as crown prince among his brothers in order to make him king. He acted wisely, dispersing some of his sons throughout the districts of Judah and Benjamin and to all the fortified cities. He gave them abundant provisions and took many wives for them. Chapter 12. After Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Now this is what Israel typically does. First, they seem to go towards him, and then they go away from him. Verse 2, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, with 12,000 chariots and 60,000 horsemen, and the innumerable troops of Libyans, Sukites, and Cushites. They came with him from Egypt. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak, and he said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me. Therefore, I now abandon you to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just." All right, that's a good response. When the Lord saw they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. "Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands." When Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shield Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards went with him, bearing the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued asking as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. As for the events of Rehoboam's reign from beginning to end, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah the prophet and Iddo the seer that deal with genealogies? There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, succeeded him as king. Which is the norm, by the way. One of the sons exceeds the father as king. That's the end of chapter 12. The records that they sometimes talk about are, were they not written in so-and-so? We don't always have those. Those are lost to us, and therefore we can assume they were, although they may have been historically helpful or interesting to read, they're not a part of God's intended, inspired word. Chapter 13. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, Abijah became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maachah, a daughter of Uro of Gibeah. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah went into battle with an army of 400,000. That's a difference, isn't it? Able fighting men, and Jeroboam drew up a battle line against him with 800,000 able troops. All right, looks like he's outnumbered. Abijah stood on Mount Zeraim in the hill country of Ephraim and said, Jeroboam and all Israel, listen to me. Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, son of Nebat, an official of Solomon, son of David, rebelled against his master. Some worthless scoundrels gathered around him and opposed Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when he was young and indecisive and not strong enough to resist them. And now you plan to resist the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of David's descendants. You are indeed a vast army, and have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made to your gods. But didn't you drive out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and make priests of your own as the peoples of other lands do? Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and 7 rams may become a priest of what are not gods. As for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. The priests who serve the Lord are sons of Aaron, and the Levites assist them. Every morning and evening they present burnt offerings and fragrant incense to the Lord. They set out the bread on the ceremonially clean table and light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening. We are observing the requirements of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him. God is with us. He is our leader. His priests with their trumpets will sound the battle cry against you. People of Israel, do not fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors, for you will not succeed. Now Jeroboam had sent troops around to the rear, so that while he was in front of Judah, the ambush was behind them. Judah turned and saw that they were being attacked at both front and rear. Then they cried out to the Lord. The priests blew their trumpets, and the men of Judah raised the battle cry. At the sound of their battle cry, God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The Israelites fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Abijah and his troops inflicted heavy losses on them, so that there were 500,000 casualties among Israel's able men. Wow. The Israelites were subdued on that occasion, and the people of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Just a reminder here that you have a split kingdom. You have 10 tribes of Israel in the north and 2 tribes of Judah in the south. Verse 19. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took from him the towns of Bethel, Jesna, and Ephron with their surrounding villages. Jeroboam did not regain power during the time of Abijah, and the Lord struck him down and he died. But Abijah grew in strength. He married 14 wives, no comment, and had 22 sons and 16 daughters. The other events of Abijah's reign, what he did and what he said, are written in the annotations of the prophet Iddo. Chapter 14. And Abijah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as king, and in his days the country was at peace for 10 years. Asa did what was right and good in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots and came as far as Mareshah. Asa went out to meet him, and they took up battle positions in the valley of Zephthalah near Mareshah. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen on them. They looted all these villages, since there was much plunder there. They also attacked the camps of the herders and carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Chapter 15. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. Now, just a side note here that you see this often, especially in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes on someone. It also comes off people. In that day, the Spirit did not dwell in people forever like it does today, but God used his Spirit to come on and off people to accomplish his own purposes. Verse 2, he went out to meet Asa and said to him, and this happens a lot with prophets like this or when God gives him something to say. Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and another city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon, who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. At that time they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle, 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. All who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting, with trumpets and horns. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. King Asa also deposed his grandmother Micah from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive image for the worship of Asherah. Asa cut it down, broke it up, and burned it in the Kedron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and articles that he and his father had dedicated. There was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. That's the end of 2 Chronicles 15 and the end of our reading for today. Well, what do we take away from this? What's our application? We're so far removed from this. We're not Israel. God has changed up some of the ways that he deals with his people and his enemies. So what do we take from this? Well, I can share what sticks out to me as far as application. God is a God of grace and mercy, but he is also a just God. He's God who loves us intently as his people, which means he also loves me enough to discipline me. There is still the principle here, I believe, of being dedicated wholeheartedly to God. Now, here at the end, it talks about Asa. He was, what did it say? He was wholeheartedly dedicated, let's see if I can find the verse. Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. But it also says before that, he did not remove the high places from Israel. So he did some things. He got some things of worship correct. He took care of his grandmother that was in her position after she had worshiped the wrong gods. And he was seen as one dedicated to the Lord. That is encouraging to me because I feel my heart is wholly dedicated to the Lord, and yet I make mistakes and I still sin. But God is looking for those. He's looking for his people to be wholly dedicated to him. That does not mean there will not be trouble. And because we always sin and his people always sin, God always chooses them what kind of consequences they're going to be. There's no promises for the United States of America. And yet, we certainly can test it by turning as a nation back to God. If that doesn't happen, then those of us who are followers of Jesus need to be wholeheartedly committed to him. God will do what is best and right, but our hearts and for our families need to be committed to him, getting rid of the things that can distract our full worship of him. That's my application for today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word here in 2 Chronicles. And Lord, for the encouragement for my heart and also the challenge, Lord. I want to be wholly dedicated to you today, to give myself completely to you, whatever you have for me to do. And Lord, when I start to go down the wrong path, when I get involved in giving into my own selfishness and sin, Lord, bring me back to you quickly. Help me to confess and to follow you. I want to honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.